On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. I'm George Adair. Thanks for tuning in this Wednesday and every Wednesday at noon. Remember, we do the show live, but you can always catch the podcast a couple different places. You can catch it on Facebook World, like we're streaming right now. You can also catch it at KSRO.com, where we've got last week's shows and previous month's shows, and you can kind of get a good understanding of what the show's about by reading the narrative. So go to KSRO.com to check it out. And if you're not getting your AM signal, of course, always listen to us at 103.5 FM. And we are going to be broadcasting all year long, talking about all the happenings of real estate finance, real estate matters, the biggest liability that you may have, which is your mortgage, but also what affects those things. There's so much misinformation out there. I really love this show because what we've done is we've really honed in on trying to get the articulate the correct information about credit, about what it takes to qualify, about all the things that matter about that mortgage. You know, today I took a call from a real estate expert. She's now out of the business, and she called me to help her understand her financing options. That's because she specializes in real estate. I specialize in financing, although I do have a real estate broker's license. I've never practiced real estate in the last 10 years, but it's something I'm very well familiar with. So that's what this show about is about, and we're looking forward to an exciting 2020. You know, there's something I've been talking about for many years, and that is credit. It's an understanding of what it takes for your credit to go up, for it to go down. I also like to talk about the myths of credit. And there's so much that goes into your credit score. People really just think, oh, hey, I've got a FICO score that I saw on Credit Karma, or I saw on my my free credit pull from my credit card company. So there's so many different variations of how a credit score is driven. Some people are really shocked when I tell them there's 53 different Fair Isaac models. 53. They were like, no, I heard there was three. There's TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. No. So within TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, we've got all these different algorithms that different types of companies use, finance companies use, to present a credit score. So when you go apply for an auto loan, that credit score that you got from that auto finance lender is going to be different than the credit score you saw on Credit Karma. What? Credit Karma told me it's the score lenders use. Okay, it's not the score lenders use. Lenders use FICO. FICO has 53 different scoring models. It is not the score that they use. Michelle, we've been talking about this for a long time. Credit,
right.
The misnomers, the misunderstandings.
Right, but there are simple things that you can do that no matter what credit agency is looking at your stuff that you can do to improve your credit score.
Absolutely. You've been helpful to our audience in sharing that you followed some of those tips.
I've done really well. I'm in the high 700s.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to boast.
Yep.
And you know, there's a great, I love this commercial and I somewhat hate it. And I wish they'd start running it again because it's actually pretty good. Where you walked into your banker's office, the lady throws her legs up on the desk and she throws her hands back and she goes, I've got a 775 FICO score. And I love it because it is something to be proud of.
Yeah.
It takes years to develop sometimes.
It took a while. My credit was not great.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many people have a history of bad credit and good credit and fair credit. One thing I promise you all is that time heals everything. We don't have debtor's prison in this country. And the Fair Isaac model is fair, I believe, at getting people a chance to rebuild. So let's talk about how do you rebuild? Let's talk about what those steps are. I can tell you that the first thing that you can control about your credit to your credit score is the type of accounts you open, because that is an actionable thing you've done. You can also control the balance on your credit.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not you've borrowed 100% of the credit card or if you've borrowed under 10%. Every 10% between those, that range, that scale, will affect your credit score. So obviously, the lower your debt, the better your FICO score.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are like, oh my God, I'm maxed out on my credit score, on my credit card. I don't know what to do. And I will simply say, call your creditor, ask them for a credit line increase. What? So if you have a $1,000 credit card and it's maxed out to $950, there's a good chance they're going to increase your limit to $1,500 or $2,000. That singular move right there, making a phone call, because you probably had, hopefully you've had on-time payment history,
mm-hmm.
They want to extend more credit to you, will potentially double your credit limit.
Wow.
And that will improve your credit score.
Right.
You didn't have to pay it down.
Right.
You just called them and said, hey, can I get a credit line increase? Now be smart. Put the credit card away.
Don't buy any more stuff.
And don't jack the balance up. So speaking about being smart,
yeah.
I've got a really great method. This is a really tried and true method. I hope some of my clients have done this in the past. I really just wanted to get the visual on this. Do you know the best way to maintain an open credit account and not use it? No? Nope.
Put the cards away.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But then, you know, hey, it's pretty easy to go in and grab it out of your drawer.
It's true, right.
It's pretty easy to go, well, you know, I kind of had a little bit short this month for groceries. So I think instead of cutting my grocery bill, what I'm going to do is go grab a credit card, right? So many people put groceries on their credit card bill, which is a really dangerous thing to do. Well, here's what I tell you to do. Grab a sandwich bag, fill it with water, drop the credit card in there, seal it up, put it at the back of your freezer. How are you going to use your card when it's frozen in a block of ice?
Yeah.
You're not going to, right? You will, in an emergency, let that thing thaw out, right? You might go whack it with a hammer. You're not going to throw it in the microwave because that will spark it up. But really, it's a good trick.
That'll
if you think
it.
You have some control issues with your credit card spending, do that. Now, mostly people won't do that. Let's be realistic. So have some credit control, credit card spending control. That's really what you need to do.
I try to pretend that I don't have credit cards.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because
right?
I was so afraid of them. I rang up student loan debt when I was young because I was an idiot and had a credit card that they offer you on
they
campus,
do.
Right?
I did the same thing.
I got that and I was dumb.
Well,
and so I was really nervous about credit cards. But after listening to you and getting your advice, I got a credit card and I have used it very sparingly. I keep myself at an 8% usage
limit.
There
you go. Because the minimum payment's going to come out.
Right.
It's going to jack you up above 10%.
Yep.
You know, hey, your kids, if you have any student children that are going to college, you have any plans to go to college yourself if you're a youngster, you're going to see credit card companies on campus. I think most of them have been banned. But man, that Frisbee and hat looks good and you sign up for that credit card offer.
Right.
Oh, no, it's the $2,500 they give you that you don't know how to manage, right, as an 18-year-old. And I was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, managing your credit card debt balance is the easiest way to affect your FICO score. Keep it down, as you mentioned, below 10%, and you're sweet. But guess what? You got to keep something on there.
Right.
So what I tell people to do is kind of have it a set it, forget it type of opportunity. It's going to be something that you only use on a sparingly basis, but you do need to use it. So if you have an iTunes account, if you have a digital streaming service account, one of the best ways to keep a small balance on a credit card is to just have the recurring payment there.
Oh, that's smart.
So you get that $8, you know, for your Netflix account or whatever the heck Netflix is now, $15. So you get that $15 charge on a $1,000 credit card. It's going to continue to churn good information to the credit bureaus. Within 90 days of no new activity on your credit card, it stops presenting your credit score with any good added value.
Oh, okay.
90 days, it basically goes into like a hibernation mode, that specific account.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay.
So,
I learned something new.
So really important that people understand that. The other thing to do is completely avoid department store credit cards. You're nodding your head. I've talked about this time and time again. And if I have another customer who goes and opens a Home Depot card before they've actually closed the sale of their house, I'm going to lose my mind. Folks, you do not want to open any department store cards ever. And I don't care. You can come to me and go, well, I got 12 months free interest. No, if you can't afford it, then don't buy it.
Right.
Otherwise, use a regular credit card. Because using the department store retail card is a trap. What's it? Star Wars? It's a trap. It is. It's a trap. It's designed for you to think you can pay it off in 12 months for 0% interest. And then Home Depot can't wait for you to have any remaining balance on that card after the 12th month, because they're going to hit you with accrued interest all the way back to the original month on the full balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You didn't end up saving anything.
Nope.
And you got hit with 25, 28%, whatever it is. The other damaging thing about getting a retail credit card, I'm talking mattress stores, department stores, Amazon cards, all retail, is it destroys your credit score for 12 months. Yep, I've seen it happen. 50 points, boom. One new card, 50 points. Because of the incentive, the nature, The FICO models, all of them, will ding you tremendously for taking a free interest deal because you don't have any obligation.
Mm-hmm.
You just overextended yourself.
Right.
So best practices, avoid the retail cards. The 10, 20% off you're going to get will be used up as soon as you start paying interest on the card. So use a regular credit card and just have good budget spending, right? Another trick about credit cards and grocery stores, there's been studies that prove people who use cash to buy their groceries spend significantly less money on said groceries. Significantly.
Huh.
Because I just did this. I had some extra money in my wallet. Someone had paid us for dinner. We used it on our credit card, so we got the money from them, right? So I had a couple $100 in my wallet. And I'm at the Oliver's checkout line, which is really easy to spend a couple $100 on.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what? I'm going to pull out the cash. And I spent $219 on groceries. And I was like, yeah, that hurts. You know, like
when you're looking at it as cash, right?
You feel it.
Right.
Greenbacks going out of your wallet for your groceries. So much different than sticking in the credit card chip and going, oh, I'll just pay for it later.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, I would, because I generally like to keep my credit card balances down, get some points out of it. But that's because I budget for it. So be mindful. We're coming out, you know, of a time where people are trying to rebuild their lives, rebuild their credit. The recession was years back, but people are paying more attention to this. Just be mindful of your spending, and you'll probably be happy you did. It's an interesting psychological game you play with yourself. Whose money, or is it other people's money or my money? Right. Another thing, you go and in for having someone to run your credit. A hard inquiry destroys your credit score. 30 points. I've had people say, you ran my credit, went down 25 points compared to the last lender who ran my credit. No, actually it didn't. It's like 3 to 5 points at the most. And it's 40 points for an entire 12-month period, and you could have your credit run an infinite number of times.
Mm.
So there's other things happening in your credit profile that are greater impactors than a credit inquiry.
Okay.
Okay? So credit inquiries, they do make up a proportionate amount, but not a lot.
Okay. Because I was worried. I just got internet. Oh, my gosh. After how long? Mm-hmm. I finally got internet at home. Xfinity.
Welcome to 2020.
Thanks.
You're a couple decades late.
I know. But they did ask. They said, you can either put $25 down or we can run a credit check. And I'm like, no, don't run a credit check. Just put the money down. I learned from George.
Yes. Now, in that situation, typically, they'll run one bureau. Not all three of the bureaus.
Okay.
They'll run just one of them. And you get 2 free hard inquiries every 12 months.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't even hurt you.
Okay.
Doesn't even hurt you.
All right, good.
So how are we doing on time here? Power's out at KSRL.
Oh, sorry. We've got about 3 minutes.
Okay,
this segment. Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole idea of improving credit is a big part of my consultation. I'm at Cross Country Mortgage, where I help many, many people figure out what their options are to qualify for a mortgage.
Yeah.
Today, I fielded a call from a client who thought he didn't qualify for a home loan, and I realized that he didn't read my email, which is, no, here's how you qualify.
Oh, okay.
10-point improvement simply by paying down one of your credit cards to 50% of the limit. I realized that was kind of a budgetary figure I think he could work with.
Mm-hmm.
So realize that when I'm working with clients and when you're in the process of obtaining any financing, realize that you can effectively manipulate your score in the short term. Well, you can get it done pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Another trick is really around the timing. So when I tell my clients to pay down their credit card debt, I say, don't wait for the statement to come out. When the statement comes out, it's once a month for every credit card company, right? That is when they send the information, the creditor sends the information to the credit bureaus. So TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian generally are only getting that info once a month. And when they get it is when it affects your score.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us have online access to our credit card companies. Log in early. Figure out when your statement is generated, you know, at the first part of the month, middle of the month, end of the month. Log in early, check out your balance, and pay it 2 to 3 days before your statement comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've prepaid it down early, and that lower balance is transmitted.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Don't wait till the statement comes out because you're not doing anything wrong. You're following the rules of your credit card relationship. However, you're basically waiting too late for you to improve your credit score because you have to go a whole nother cycle.
Right. It'll only show up the next
time. Yeah,
right,
yeah. Right. So, be proactive, get ahead of the game, and do it that way.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, look, folks, I'm here to help you. You can always call me at 707-583-8100. I will give you free credit advice. It's part of the services we provide in helping homeowners buy and refinance their real estate. I'm George Adair. We're going to break. I'll be right back.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly two decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458, 800-481-1458, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining me today. As you may recall, I said at the top of the show, we do this every noon Wednesday. You can also go to KSRO.com and check out the previous shows. And appreciate you joining us today. Of course, today was a very eventful day in the news, or maybe it was uneventful. I think that's more maybe an appropriate, where there was a lack of progress in the escalation between Iran and the United States. You know, I've been nervous about this. Many people have been nervous about this. My kids have been wondering about it. And I figured, you know, how crazy. I've been talking for years as an example of the things that impact interest rates. I talk about geopolitical crises. And one of the things I just kind of say is if we're to get into a war with Iran, it would affect interest rates. I've been saying this for years because it's one of those things that's been it's just kind of been a hotbed of topics out, you know, that we've been following.
Yeah.
And it happened, right? We didn't get into a war with Iran, fortunately. Knock on some wood, but the escalation quickly affected interest rates. So, folks, those of you that are 2% of the population is getting a home loan at any given moment. More lately because of interest rates being so low. That's some people are saying 10-15% of any homeowner at any moment the population is getting a home loan. So you're tuned in to what's happening in the rate environment. I had I've had questions about this for years. How does this and that affect interest rates? Will we see them drop to this level or that level? Well, I don't have a crystal ball. That's a sort of standing statement I make. If I did, you know, we'd all be rich. I'd just tell you when to do it, and you'd just listen to me, and we'd all be rich. But the reality of geopolitical crisis is it's unstable, it's unpredictable, and it freaks the securities markets out. When it's in the Middle East, it also affects oil.
Right.
So when oil prices go up, when stock prices fall, the investor base, hedge funds that manage your 401ks, manage your CalPERS, manage your STIRS, these huge funds that move money in and out of markets, they do what's called a flight to safety. So they leave this unstable markets and move for stability as a hedge. They don't want to lose more money as markets crash. Mm-hmm. So they buy bonds. Mortgages are bonds. They're called mortgage-backed securities. They trade like a treasury bill does. They are not treasury bills. However, the U.S. government uses treasury bills to buy bonds in the mortgage-backed security market sometimes. They've been doing that lately again. We call that quantitative easing. So when the mortgage-backed security market changes, it affects what you pay as an interest rate. But how much does it affect it, right? People are like, oh my God, stock market is falling. That means interest rates are going to go way down. No, they don't go way down. They trickle down over a period of time because it's not something that ever moves fast. That's why they move money into bonds. Bonds are stable.
Right.
Right. So just remember that when you're paying attention to the interest rate marketplace and you're out there ready to buy or ready to refinance, realize that bad news in the world can improve your interest rates, but it's not going to take it to a level of life-changing numbers, right? It's not going to go from average interest rate of, say, 3.875 prevailing 30-year fixed right now. It's not going to go down to 3.25. Never seen it happen. It's not going to happen like that. But you could see an eighth. You could see a quarter and a really aggressive move. You might see a quarter drop. Mm-hmm. Well, Michelle, I've talked about for years how much of a savings you get and how it takes a really long period of time to get those savings to realize the cost-benefit analysis.
Right.
So let's say you go for on a $400,000 loan. Your rate drops 0.25%. You're saving about $70 a month. Cool. That's great. Cost you $3,500 to do the refinance, folks. Remember that. So when you're so rate sensitive, you've got to be in a position to look at the overall net tangible benefit. It's going to cost me for escrow fee, title fees, the appraisal potentially, lender fees, prorations for interest, taxes, and insurance. It all adds up. So did that 0.25% savings make it worth it?
Is that $70 worth it?
Right? Yeah. And then when you follow, one of the many internet lenders that's job is purely to obtain your information and sell you something you probably don't need, one of them will tell you, hey, you should get, I heard this commercial the other day. One of the biggest internet lenders we hear all the time said, the average credit card debt in America is $7,000. You should consider a home refinance. You got to be kidding me. They're pushing the idea of refinancing your house so that you can pay off $7,000 of the credit card debt. It's going to cost you $3,500. So then your net savings is $3,500. Yes, it'll give you some cash flow protection. Mortgage debt's cheaper than cash flow, credit card debt.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot cheaper until you're talking about $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So don't fall for that. Okay, these platforms like LendingTree and others, they are not lenders. So the LendingTree, what does it do? It puts your information out on 100 branches of the tree, and it sells it to all these other lenders. So just be mindful that when we drop into a low interest rate environment, or there's the potential for lower interest rates because of geopolitical crises, it doesn't necessarily pencil out. And that's what my job is. As your local mortgage advisor, I want you to call me and I'll give it to you straight. And it doesn't cost you anything. You essentially call me at 707-583-8100 or you go to georgiadare.com. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to aggregate all of your information. I'm going to figure out what you qualify for. I'm going to figure out what you're paying now. I'm going to figure out what your goals are. And once we've got all that identified, I'll make a specific recommendation that yields you good information so you know whether or not you're going to refinance or you're not. But I'm not going to sell your information to anyone. You don't need to go to LendingTree.com. You don't need to call an internet lender and blast off into space, push button, get mortgage. all that kind of stuff is crazy to me. And you know what, Michelle, we've got a cross-country mortgage. We have a plethora of investors that we sell our loans to. So we underwrite it, we process and underwrite it ourselves, and then we fund it ourselves, and then we sell it later to the best deal we can get. So you don't need to go shop online to find the best, craziest low interest rate.
Right.
We're kind of doing it for you. You know, I mean, that's really what we do. So interest rate volatility, interest rate marketplace is one that's fairly predictable. And what you're going to see is that one lender to the other just dresses it up a little differently, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And really, that's what the APR is for. APR is your annual percentage rate. It is not the note rate. And it was put out under the Truth in Lending Act to make sure that people understood the cost of the mortgage. Not just the rate of the mortgage, but the cost of the mortgage. So what they do is they say, okay, one lender A and lender B are offering the same note. But if one of those lenders is charging points, the consumer should know.
Right.
And that's where the APR comes into play. So these are the things I educate you on as your advocate. And it costs you nothing extra. A lot of people think, oh my God, I'm going to work with George Adair and he's a mortgage advisor. He's going to charge me by the hour. No. I'm really like a loan officer, just like the ones at the bank, except I'm smarter and I'm doing this longer. And I want to look out for your best interest, not the bank's best interest, right? So when you call me at 583-8100, you know, whether you've got divorce situation, you've got self-employment income, you're in a situation where you're not sure if you can qualify yet, that's part of the conversation that we're going to have. And I'm going to educate you on the 30 things that affect the interest rate. And it's going to be more than just your FICO score, like we talked about before.
And it's going to be individualized too, because we're all different. And so we all have different things that we're bringing to the table and problems that are, you know, one person doesn't make their payments on time. The other person has, you know, rocky history, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. Everybody's different.
And you don't have to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
So I've coined the term. I've never heard anyone else use it. I think it's mine. Do-it-yourself lending. It doesn't make any sense. You don't need to. There's zero advantage to going through and becoming your own expert and your own mortgage lender, because essentially you've got me for that.
Right.
And you don't even pay me for it. You don't. The bank that you're going to make your mortgage payment to, they're the ones that pay me. So take advantage of it. Call 707-583-8100. You're going to get straight into my phone. If I miss your call, I'll call you back. I promise. I think I just got a call. you know, it's part of what I do. And I'm a local guy. I'm a local community member. You know, it's important to me that I'm advocating for the members of our community. So visit georgiadare.com to get started, or call 707-583-8100. Folks, thanks for listening today. We'll be back next Wednesday at noon. See ya.